You know, I don't remember learning to walk. However, I do remember my children taking their first steps. At least my memory is vaguely familiar with that. It came in stages to the point until each child gained the confidence to stand on their own and then to take that first step. Along with walking came running, jumping, and then finally, growing up. All these life adventures involve choices and actions that require confidence. At first step, and then a little confidence, and then it's off, can't catch your baby as they run away from you. In fact, that happened today, and as I was coming down the hall here in the hotel with a mom trying to rein in a two-year-old, I just looked at her and says, it starts early, doesn't it? And it does indeed. But as we set goals, we find new skills. In fact, for almost anything that we do, confidence is a key component if it's going to be done successfully. And we, if you think about it, we build our confidence. Even in one of the hymns we just sang, there was an idea of building more and more of a relationship with God. Most often, though, it seems that confidence is associated with having what? Self-confidence, self-assurance. There are endless offerings and choices to help gain self-confidence. There's no end to it. And people analyze the lack of self-confidence as being a real problem. And then you've always, I'm sure, run into cases where people are overly self-confident. That doesn't go across so well sometimes. However, these things can all be helpful having been applied correctly. The most important part of what makes our confidence successful has to do with what is our support? What is our backup for the confidence that we operate from? And I have picked out three, and I'm calling them pillars because they're a support structure for this thing we call confidence. The first one is self. I've already mentioned that. And that's based on our qualifications on whether we're going to be successful in using self-confidence correctly. Then a second pillar has to do with others. Unfortunately, sometimes they build up, that's okay, but sometimes they tear down. And this recent incident in the Swiss bar and New Year's night, late into the morning, with people basically partying way too hard, ended up in the death of some 40 people. So others sometimes can not be what you want to be around to build up your confidence or your life itself. But the third one is the important one, and that is God, who is not in most people's lives. However, he is in the lives of Christians. What I just said seems maybe we gloss over it and think, well, yeah, we all know that, but really it's significant. In this society that we live in, Christians walk as lights. They are separate. Everything in the Bible attests to the fact that Christians are different, not only in the way they are represented in society, but in their association with God. I'm going to be talking about this strongest pillar of ours, and it has to do with the relationship with God that we build our confidence. You might be turning to Hebrews 11, 1, verse 1. Faith in God is the ultimate confidence that we can have. And here's just a little bit of a description about faith. Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Now faith is the substance, I like the marginal rendering here, the realization. Faith is the realization of things hoped for. That is, it comes about, it will come about, the confidence of things not seen. Now again, confidence here is a marginal rendering for the word evidence. But it is, faith is the confidence of things not seen. And we as Christians live a lot of our life anticipating things that are not seen based on the Word of God and the promises of God and our eventual role in finding fulfillment. Confidence grows with a feeling or belief that one can rely on someone or something. Think about, now who do I rely or trust in that way? Well, in God, we can have that form of trust, absolute faith. Of course, with the proviso that we do what he wants us to do, we please him. Philippians 4, verse 11 through 13, verses, I should say. Paul's writing here, and he begins in verse 11, not that I speak in regard to need. He's addressing the Philippians about their giving offerings and providing support for the ministry. Things haven't changed much, have they, brethren? That still is a necessity. He continues, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. I can be poor, I can be rich. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. But here in verse 13 we find a key verse for ourselves. We need to have the faith to believe what I'm about to read and to trust God that this is indeed applicable to us as a follower of Jesus Christ. Verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Can we say this? Can I? Paul could because of his confidence in Jesus Christ. Galatians 2 and verse 20. This pours in on how that relationship with Jesus Christ comes about and how it can change our lives and guarantee our futures. Galatians 2 and verse 20, Paul is talking now as a converted man, called by God, separated by Jesus Christ to be an apostle. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. My life is totally committed to live or to die for Jesus Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It's a little bit of a change in that preposition. It is not in, as your new King James version would have it, but of. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's Jesus Christ coming in our lives and assisting us so that we can build his confidence in our lives. And ultimately, because he did have confidence in the Father, he was able to avoid sin, to overcome all the temptations that were thrown at him, and to become our high, not only living high priest, but our Savior, so that we can find forgiveness from sins. But that's how Paul was living his life as a converted person, depending on Jesus Christ. And again, he went through ups and downs, trials, tribulations, all kinds of things, and yet was able to say that. Our confidence is about far more than our physical lifetimes, brethren. It is about eternity. It should be. We should have that perspective. Consider this from Paul's perspective. His, again, using Paul as my springboard here for this sermonette. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 19. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiable. It's got to be more to it. We have an organized Christianity, a highly developed Christianity, a false one. And in reality, their only hope is in this life, because they are not obeying God or following the real example of Jesus Christ. Again, Paul also wrote this in Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 21. Several verses here, but this starts summing up what I'm talking about today. Paul writes in Ephesians 3, verse 14, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you," and we can take that to be us as the you here, "according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man." God's Holy Spirit in us helps us to have and to build the confidence that is based on faith in God. Verse 17, "that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." And when it's saying through your in your hearts, he's talking about in your inner being, your the very core of who you are, "that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ," again, Christ in us, brethren, "through the Spirit of God, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." Verse 20, "now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think," we don't even envision the potential that God has in store for us, "according to the power that works in us," that is his power, his Holy Spirit, "to him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. Amen." Come away from my sermonette, please, with a perspective that there's more to being a Christian than just going through the various challenges of this age and this time of, you know, being kind of an odd duck out as we stand out by keeping the Sabbath and holy days and other things and not doing what the world's doing. I'm going to leave you with one last scripture, 1 John 5 and verse 14. 1 John 5 and verse 14. I hope we can all say that this is the way we're living right now, or this is the way we want to come to the point that we live this way. "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything in his name, he hears us." And indeed he does.